Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Jill Robbins and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Jill Robbins.
When the coronavirus began spreading around the world, the island nation of Kiribati closed its borders. That meant the disease did not reach the remote country in the Pacific for nearly 2 years. Kiribati finally began reopening this month, letting a plane carrying 54 of its citizens to return. Many of those on the plane were religious workers from the Mormon Church. They had left Kiribati before the border closure to spread the church's teachings in other countries. Officials tested each returning passenger 3 times in nearby Fiji. They were required to be vaccinated and stay in quarantine with additional testing when they arrived home. The measures were not enough. More than half the passengers tested positive for the virus, which has now spread into the community. The government has declared a state of disaster. And what began as 36 positive cases from the flight increased to 181 cases by Friday. Kiribati and several other small Pacific nations were among the last places on the planet to have avoided any virus outbreaks. They have little contact because of their remote locations and strict border controls, but their defenses appear to be ineffective against the highly contagious Omicron variant. Before this month's outbreak, Kiribati had reported just 2 virus cases. They were crew members on a ship that officials did not permit to dock. Helen Patousis-Harris is a vaccine expert at the University of Auckland in New Zealand. She said the spread of the virus could not be avoided. It's a matter of buying enough time to prepare and getting as many people vaccinated as possible, she added. Only 33% of Kiribati's 113,000 people are fully vaccinated. A scientific publication, Our World in Data, reports that 59% have had at least 1 shot of the vaccine. And like many other Pacific nations, Kiribati offers only basic health services. Dr. Appi Talematoa leads a network of indigenous Pacific Island doctors in New Zealand. He said Kiribati had only 2 intensive care beds in the entire nation. In the past, the nation would send its sickest patients to Fiji or New Zealand for treatment. He said he is concerned about how Kiribati's health system will handle the outbreak. Kiribati has now opened several quarantine areas, declared a curfew, and restricted movement. President Tenesi Maumau said on social media that the government is using all its resources to deal with the situation and urged people to get vaccinated. In October, another religious worker also brought the first and only case so far of COVID-19 to Tonga, an island nation over 2,000 kilometers southwest of Kiribati. He was vaccinated and quarantined following his return from Africa and New Zealand. As Tonga is trying to prevent an outbreak, a strong volcanic explosion and tsunami destroyed the country earlier this month. The nation of 105,000 people has since received aid from around the world. Crews from incoming military ships and planes must drop their supplies and leave without having any contact with those on the ground. Patousis Harris, the vaccine expert, said, "Anything they can do to keep it out is going to be important." COVID would just make that disaster worse, she added. In the long term, however, it is going to be impossible to stop the virus from entering Tonga or any other community, Patousis Harris said. I'm Jill Robbins.
Japanese automaker Toyota says it will team up with the country's space agency to develop a vehicle to explore the moon. The vehicle is called the Lunar Cruiser. The name comes from a popular Toyota vehicle called the Land Cruiser. The company said it plans to launch the vehicle in the late 2020s. After that, Toyota said the vehicle could assist people living on the moon by 2040 and could possibly be sent to Mars as well. Takao Sato heads the company's Lunar Cruiser project. He told the Associated Press the vehicle is based on the idea that people eat, work, sleep, and communicate with others safely in cars. He hopes the Lunar Cruiser can serve the same purpose in space. We see space as an area for our once-in-a-century transformation, Sato said. By going to space, we may be able to develop telecommunications and other technology that will prove valuable to human life. Another company, Gitai Japan Inc., is partnering with Toyota to develop a robotic arm for the Lunar Cruiser. It will be designed to perform jobs such as carrying out inspections and maintaining the vehicle. The company said the arm will be built to work with different tools. These tools could be used to study the moon's surface more closely. Interest in space has been growing in Japan in recent years. Japanese space exploration company iSpace announced last April that it would transport any explorer belonging to the United Arab Emirates, UAE, to the moon in 2022. Japan's iSpace will provide the lander to carry the UAE's rover. The company plans to launch the lander on a Falcon 9 rocket built by American company SpaceX. Japanese citizens followed the trip to space last year of billionaire Yusaku Maezawa. He spent 12 days aboard the International Space Station. Maezawa also plans in the future to orbit around the moon on SpaceX's Starship spacecraft. Toyota engineer Shinichiro Noda said he thinks the lunar project can extend the company's tradition of serving customers to a place beyond Earth. He said Toyota currently has vehicles almost everywhere. But this is about taking our cars to somewhere we have never been, Noda said.
A new study provides evidence that the cannabis compound CBD can block infections of COVID-19 in human cells and mice. The study was led by American researchers from the University of Chicago. Marcia Rosner led the team. She is a professor in the university's Ben May Department of Cancer Research. Rosner told Reuters the research showed that CBD was able to block the virus that causes COVID-19 from replicating or making copies of itself in human lung cells. CBD stands for cannabidiol. It is the second most active substance found in cannabis, also known as marijuana, Harvard Medical School reports. The main chemical substance in cannabis is THC. THC is what gives marijuana users the mental state known as a high. CBD contains almost no THC. In the experiment, researchers treated human lung cells with CBD for 2 hours before introducing the virus to the cells, the University of Chicago said in a report. The team found that CBD, when given in the right amounts, reduced the virus's ability to replicate in the cells. The researchers reported the same results when the experiment was performed on two other kinds of cells. They said CBD was able to reduce virus replication in several different versions or variants of COVID-19. The team noted that CBD was not able to stop the virus from entering cells, but it was found to be effective at blocking replication of the virus during early infection and 6 hours after the virus had already infected the cells. Similar results were reported in experiments involving mice. The study was recently published in Science Advances. The research offers some hope for CBD as a possible treatment for COVID-19. But Rosner said more studies are needed to measure the true effectiveness of CBD. Our findings do not say this will work in patients. Our findings make a strong case for a clinical trial, she said. The researchers also looked at a group of adults with severe epilepsy who were taking an approved CBD drug. They found that individuals in the group had lower rates of COVID-19. But Rosner said that area of research also needs actual clinical trials before any conclusions can be made. The team also included THC in the experiments. But Rosner said the substance did not keep the virus out of cells or prevent it from replicating. Not only did THC not work, but combining it with CBD prevented CBD from working, she said. Several other studies have been carried out, and some small CBD trials with COVID-19 are currently going on, Reuters reports. Rosner's team plans to explore the possibility of a clinical trial involving people with mild cases of COVID-19. Rosner says she is concerned that media reports overstating that possible use of cannabinoids may lead people to self-medicate with CBD and avoid getting vaccinated or wear a face covering. We would love to be able to say specifically that a set amount of cannabinoids is helpful, she said. But, she added, at this point, vaccine-induced antibodies and antibody drugs are much more effective at blocking infection. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The years after World War I were an important turning point in the making of the American nation. The country turned away from the problems of Europe. Now, it would deal with problems of its own. Kay Gallant and Morris Joyce tell about the many changes in America during the early 1920s.
There was a presidential election in America in 1920. President Woodrow Wilson was not a candidate. He had suffered a stroke and was too sick. The two major candidates were Democrat James Cox and Republican Warren Harding. Voters had a clear choice between the two candidates. Cox supported the ideas of President Wilson. He believed the United States should take an active part in world affairs. Harding opposed the idea of internationalism. He believed the United States should worry only about events within its own borders. Warren Harding won the election. By their votes, Americans made clear they were tired of sacrificing lives and money to solve other people's problems. They just wanted to live their own lives and make their own country a better place.
This was a great change in the nation's thinking. For 20 years since the beginning of the century, the United States had become more involved in international events. Young Americans had grown up with presidents like Woodrow Wilson and Theodore Roosevelt. Both Wilson and Roosevelt had active foreign policies. Both helped start the nation on the road to becoming a major world power. Then came World War I. It was like a sharp needle that burst a balloon. The United States and the Allies won the war against Germany and the Central Powers. But thousands of American troops had died in the European conflict, and many months were taken up by the bitter debate over the peace treaty and the League of Nations. Most Americans did not want to hear about Europe and international peace organizations anymore.
Instead, Americans became more concerned with material things. During World War I, they had lived under many kinds of restrictions. The federal government had controlled railroads, shipping, and industrial production. At the end of the war, these controls were lifted. Industries that had been making war supplies began making products for a peacetime economy. Wages for most workers in the United States were higher than ever at the beginning of the 1920s. men and women had enough money to enjoy life more than they had in the past.
Technology made it possible for millions of people to improve their lives. It also caused great changes in American society. Two of the most important new technologies were automobiles and radio. In the early years of the 20th century, automobiles were very costly. Each one was built separately by a small team of skilled workers. Most Americans did not have the money to own an automobile. Then Henry Ford decided to make cars everyone could buy. He built them on an assembly line. Cars were put together or assembled as they moved slowly through the factory. Each worker did just one thing to the car before it moved on to the next worker. In this way, the Ford Motor Company could build cars more quickly and easily, and it could sell them for much less money.
Before long, there were cars everywhere. All these cars created a need for better roads. Outside cities, most roads were made just of dirt. They were chokingly dusty in dry weather and impassably muddy in the rain. They were rough and full of holes. Few bridges connected roads across rivers and streams. America's new drivers demanded that these problems be fixed. So local and state governments began building and improving roads as they had never done before. As new roads were built, many new businesses opened along them. There were gasoline stations and auto repair shops, of course, but soon there were eating places and hotels where travelers could eat and sleep. In the 1920s, the United States was becoming a nation of car lovers.
Cars changed more than the way Americans traveled. They changed the way Americans lived. They removed some of the limitations of living conditions. For example, families with cars no longer had to live in noisy, crowded cities. They could live in suburbs, the wide open areas outside cities. They could use their car to drive to work in the city. Businesses moved too. No longer did they have to be close to railroad lines. With new cars and trucks, they could transport their goods where they wanted, when they wanted. They were no longer limited by train times. Cars also made life on farms less lonely. It became much easier for farm families to go to town on business or to visit friends.
Cars helped Americans learn more about their nation. In the 1920s, people could drive all across the land for not much money. Places that used to be days apart now seemed suddenly closer. Families that normally stayed home on weekends and holidays began to explore the country. They drove to the seashores and lakeshores, to the mountains and forests, to places of historical importance or natural beauty.
Not all the changes linked to the car were good, of course. Automobile accidents became more common and deadly. Other forms of transportation, such as railroads, began to suffer from the competition. Some railroads had to close down. Horses and wagons, once the most common form of transportation, began to disappear from city streets. There were not enough cars in the 1920s to cause severe air pollution, but the air was becoming less pure every year, and the roads were becoming more crowded and noisy.
The automobile greatly changed America's transportation. Radio greatly changed its communication. The first radio station opened in the state of Pennsylvania in 1920. Within 10 years, there were hundreds of others. There were more than 13 million radio receivers. Most of the radio stations were owned by large broadcasting networks. These networks were able to broadcast the same program to stations all over the country.
Most programs were simple and entertaining. There were radio plays, comedy shows, and music programs. But there also were news reports and political events. Millions of people who never read newspapers now heard the news on radio. Citizens everywhere could hear the president's voice. Like the automobile, radio helped bring Americans together. They were able to share many of the same events and experiences.
Radio also was a great help to companies. Businesses could buy time on radio programs for advertisements. In these ads, they told listeners about their products. They urged them to buy the products. Cars, electric refrigerators, foods, medicines. In this way, companies quickly and easily created a nationwide demand for their goods. Automobiles and radios were not the only new technologies to change American life in the days after World War I. Still, one more invention would have a great effect on how Americans spent their time and money. That was the motion picture.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.